What's going on, everybody? I'm excited to have James O'Keefe here live. We're going to talk about his new venture, possibly dancing, making a play of our own and other stuff. Thanks for joining, James.
Hey, thank you so much.
Yeah, so I guess if you want to talk about your new venture, because I've never seen anything like it. Everybody stood behind you. I think you are more important to Project Veritas than any singular person to any brand. And I didn't see a single person that didn't have your back. So what are you working on and what did you think of that?
Well, first of all, I hope you like my video. I got strobe lights, I got sandwiches, I got black cars. I hope you enjoyed that. And I'm looking forward to rapping with you. I was on a boat like 2 years ago. I like boats. And we were in the Pacific Ocean and you were freestyling. I don't know if you remember that, but it was really fun. And I intend to do that with you again and DJ with you. So this is OMG, acronym for Oh My Gosh, O'Keefe Media Group. We're going to be decentralizing journalism, crowdsourcing journalism to thousands of people, buying cameras, shipping cameras everywhere starting Monday. And it's also going to be a cultural group, too. That's why I'm talking to you. As you know, I do musical theater. I tell stories for a living. I've actually produced kind of a musical about my journey. It was called The PV Experience last year. Some people liked it. Some people didn't. But we're going to keep doing that as well. So this is really an effort to decentralize news gathering and storytelling and teach people how to do it and equip them. So this website, O'Keefe Media Group, you can actually purchase these little cameras, sponsor them, and I'll ship them out to hundreds of people.
Yeah, when you were talking about the thing you did last year, they were trying so hard to do smears on you with the sandwich, this and that. And one of the things they brought up is that you did some sort of like a dance party. And I was like, what's wrong with that? That sounds like a great time.
Some people just don't like dancing, but that's who I am. I love to dance. I think some people just don't like joy. I think some people just don't like happiness. I don't know. And some people don't like excellence, right? Because in order for there to be excellence, there has to be an objective truth that's good versus bad. And so I don't really care whether people like it or not. The world needs excellence. The world needs joy. The world needs dancing. The world needs music. And the world needs investigative journalism, right? So there's no board of directors at this company. I own it. And I'm proud to say that in the first 24 hours, we already got a few thousand paid subscribers. And I'm about to order $60,000 worth of little tiny cameras and ship them out Monday. So we're well on our way. And I don't think I was ready for this a year ago or 10 years ago. But after what has happened in my life, I mean, people are very inspired. I mean, remember, I did this story on Pfizer, and then like a week later, I was ousted out of the company I founded. So some really strange occurrences, but a lot of brave people, a lot of heroic people, and a lot of citizens really ready to go do this, right? Not just a few people, but thousands. So I want to teach them how to do it, and I want to create a movement. I've already created a movement. I just got to mobilize them and teach them the ethics, the legal, the technology, to get them going.
I want to ask about the Veritas and Pfizer stuff, but first I want to say with the new stuff, you're getting cameras for people. What's the legality of that and what's the line or what are you looking for? Because now there's going to be people like, hey, I want to be undercover. You know, do you want them just running around anywhere with the cameras or what are you looking for?
No, I think ethics is going to be critical. And we're building out our website and very soon we're going to have a curriculum on there for like $20. You can get access to trainings and seminars. That'll be probably in the next 30 days. I've also been invited to teach at some journalism schools, and we're going to be filming it. I don't want to say what journalism schools because I don't want Antifa showing up yet. Let's get it done and get it filmed, and it'll be pretty cool. I think ethics is really important. There's 38 states where it's legal. A couple states it's problematic. We're going to make sure. Right now, I've got 10 people on the phone with people nonstop all day and night. It's a situational case, but I think people are going to need a lot of guidance and a lot of training, and we're going to build that out for you one day at a time. But getting the cameras to them is the most important thing. And I've tweeted out a link where if you're watching this and you want a camera, you just go on the website and we'll ship them. The cameras are about $600 a piece, but we're just going to give them away like candy. And create an army of citizen exposers. I think people are now waking up and they're always saying, what can I do? How can I be activated? So I'm putting it right back on you. You want to do something? I'm going to help you do something. And we're going to create a movement here.
What do you think people should expose? And then what do you think people shouldn't expose? Like, where does the line of privacy and activism and journalism, like, what? Yeah, I'll just ask that.
That's a great question. I mean, journalism is making public secrets that powerful people want kept hidden for the wrong reasons. Mm. So it's different in every situation. Ultimately, it comes down to a secret, something that someone wants kept hidden. And of course, some secrets are necessary, right? Like, for example, I don't ever bring a camera into someone's bedroom. That's just not an area I would ever go. And I've had to redact, like, remove from tapes when people talk about these sorts of things, because I don't think the public eye should ever see that. For example, when someone sent me Joe Biden's daughter's diary, I didn't publish it. People wanted me to, but I just think that there's certain stories I won't tell. On the other hand, some things people have a right to know. The public has a right to know when a pharmaceutical company is lying to their customers, when the intelligence agencies are targeting Americans, when school teachers or union officials are covering up statutory rape. So that line changes depending upon the circumstances. So it's kind of a situational ethics. And every one of us out there have to understand how this works if you're going to be empowered to do it. You're also going to have to understand how to tell the story, because I ultimately believe that the citizens, sort of like what you do, they need to tell their own stories. They need to learn how to be storytellers when they collect the information. So it's a very ambitious mission here. It's evolved from what Veritas did. I had a few dozen people on staff that were doing this. I want thousands of people to do this, and I think the world is ready for it.
I guess you don't have to disclose this, but I'm just curious. The day with the Pfizer guy where you're there the next day and he's freaking out, throwing the iPad and whatever, you know, how are you so pinpoint with, like, you know, it's like huge story and the next day you're right there. And the person's always so shocked, because it's like, how does James know where I am?
Oh, I love confronting bad guys. Like, I don't know. The hard things come easy to me, and the easy things come hard to me. It's just my nature. Like, I can't do my laundry. I can't, figure out how to log into the bank account. But, like, I could go confront people and then just steady. I mean, that video was probably my favorite thing of all time for so many reasons. The guy, like, literally smashed my – like, he thought that the only place the video was located was on the iPad I showed him. Smashing. And while he's smashing the freaking iPad, right behind him is a picture of Jesus Christ on the wall in a blue pizzeria. The people in the pizzeria are just making the pizzas like nothing's happening. Oh, just another day in New York City. Seen it all before. They lock me in the restaurant. They falsely imprison me. And then they call the NYPD, who's on the way. So this is like, I mean, this looked like a sitcom. It looked like some weird sketch comedy thing. And it was all filmed on a really high quality camera. And the cameraman was, you know, getting in an altercation. I'm trying to get. So listen, this is just what we do. And I really enjoy that part of the process. There's something about, you know, when I do that, I just flip a switch in my psyche and it just flows. And I'm not thinking. It's like, it's like what Maverick said in Top Gun, don't think, just do. That's just what happens. And I've probably just been doing this for 18 years, so subconscious takes over.
Yeah, I saw a video recently of you with, I think it was Andrew Breitbart, and you look super young. And it was epic. It felt like a moment where I knew you were a veteran in the game, but to see you young and there with Andrew, can you explain that video, or like how long you've really been doing this?
I've been doing this for, I just posted a clip today. I don't know if you saw the Lucky Charms video where I was banning Lucky Charms cereal. It's St. Patrick's Day, right? I'm an Irish American, and I told them the leprechaun on the cereal box was racist to my Irish heritage. We're not all short. We have our differences of height. And as you can see, you know, this, so they took me seriously. I was trying to be ironic. This is 18 years ago today. So I've been doing this for about that long, nonstop in different iterations. It was in college. I started a newspaper. After college, I did it on the side. And then I started a a group called Project Veritas. I did that for 14 years. And then I was fired from Project Veritas. And now I'm doing O'Keefe Media Group. And all throughout this journey, it's been a mission to expose people and institutions for what they are so that you don't have to explain it. You just show it for who people are. So that it's sort of self-evident. And it's been a very artistic mission. That's what people don't understand. They think it's political. It's not political. I'll expose Republicans, Democrats. I'll expose anybody that needs to be exposed. But obviously, there is an objective truth to the world. There is a reality around us. And you record it, it does a better job than just describing it.
I asked a few people on my Facebook subscribers and Patreon. I told them in advance I was going to interview you, not everybody, but I got a few questions. And a lot of people wanted to know, you know, why, what the reason that you got ousted from your own company was, and also if you think it had anything to do with that Pfizer drop, or that was just like a coincidental time frame.
Well, I mean, I don't like to speculate. You know, everyone, I'm sure that they want the headline. O'Keefe says Pfizer kicked him out. I don't know what happened. It was truly bizarre. I've been doing this for, again, 14 years, and then suddenly the biggest story of my life, that story was viewed 50 million times and has led to other FISA whistleblowers reaching out to me even this week. We're working on some of that, hint, hint. But I don't know why a week after that, suddenly there was an emergency to remove me. And it was very bizarre. I mean, they talked about taking pregnant ladies' sandwiches and taking black cars to meetings. I take black cars. I have a driver sometimes because my life, you know, people threaten my life. And I'm on the phone talking about confidential undercover things. So I'm not just going to hire an Uber X guy who I don't know.
Right.
So it was very bizarre. The reasons why they removed me were quite bizarre, and it leads to more questions than answers. And I have not answered these questions yet. Maybe that story will come out in due time.
Well, I think as someone from the outside reading all this stuff, I could tell they were grasping for things because you heard six different stories. Like, okay, you have the sandwich story, which is hilarious. It's like, you know, two people need to eat. There's one sandwich. Someone's got to grab it. But then the black cars. I did a live stream reaction to that. And I said, well, that's fine. He's earned the right to take those. And I don't, you know, he doesn't have to take an Uber X. I said the same thing. Like, that's not shocking. And then you had, you know, people, they just had five different things. And to me, that's a sign that they're just grasping for reasons as opposed to giving one concrete reason that makes sense. And I'll say this too. And not just because you're here, but I think you meant more to them than like Shapiro means to Daily Wire. Any one person means to anything. There's a lot of cool people out there, but you really were the brand. So it was very ambitious, in my opinion, of them to just try to get rid of you. Like, that was going to go over well. It of course didn't. And I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah. I mean, it was really painful for about a week. You know, I built that. I built it on my dad's garage. I mean, been building that for 13, 14 years. But I think it's probably a blessing. I learned a lot. I figured out who the real people in my life are. And I had a million followers on Twitter, and now I have 1.4 million. It was like everything just exploded. Like, people just came out of the woodwork and showed me that they care about me personally, but also I got 10,000 emails and 5,000 text messages. Hey, give me one of those cameras. Even more so than 2 months ago. So I learned a lot. I think I'll be more effective after this. And I never really focused on the board. I had a board of directors. I don't have a board now. I own this. I was a 501c3, which is a foundation, and foundations require boards. And in media, it's so important that you focus on who owns the company, right? Because advertisers can influence, or you know, there can be a control issue, but obviously now I don't have that issue. I own it, and the people who subscribe own it, and I'm not going to take a bribe. Obviously, I've been raided by the FBI and sued and targeted and smeared, and but I think having been through all that for a decade and a half, we've been able to earn the trust of so many people that know that we have their backs. So you build a brand like that and you build trust with your sources journalistically. But now I'm more ambitious. I want to teach thousands of people how to do it themselves. Cause I think that's how you really change the world, is you empower people and you decentralize it so that they're just going to go do it, put it back on them.
So you said there's no board in this one. Like, can you, that it seemed like it snuck up on you. Can you walk us through that? Almost like, I didn't even realize you had the power to do that. Or maybe you thought.
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I just ran the company, you know, I never really focused on the bylaws or in a 501c3 organization, you have a board of directors and then you have a CEO. And the role of a board is to hire and fire the CEO. That's what a board does. They're not really supposed to be doing other things like hiring people themselves or doing this sort of thing that they did in the end there. But I never really focused on board composition. I never really approached things in a political way. I never thought it was inconceivable to me that this could ever occur, and inconceivable to all of you. I never worried about it. And when it happened, you could say I probably lost 8 pounds in a week. I went through intense pain, and a lot of spiritual darkness, a lot of, I felt like I was living through a nightmare. But about 4 or 5 days after that, I was overcome with so many people, including some of the people I worked with. Let me give you a less abstract example. I'm out of a job, no paycheck. All I had is my credit card, my volunteer, a few people with me, put the whistleblower that went to the conference 10 days ago on their credit cards. And we maxed out our credit cards. We got an office from someone who just cared about us, giving us free office space, just people working 20 hours a day, sitting on the floor. So those are the people that you need in life. And sometimes you have to go through these things to identify who the real ride or die people are. And then there's like thousands of ride or die people. Right. So it was really a blessing. I don't know if that makes sense, but there were some really horrible things that happened and some defamation and so forth and so on. But there's also a lot of goodness in the world. I think evil is getting more evil in our world, and the good is getting more good. And I genuinely believe that, you know, light shining a light in darkness, even if it's a little light, can it can really clean things up.
I've never seen everybody almost in unison behind you. Like when, you know, Shapiro and Crowder kind of have a fight, like everyone has an opinion, right? Or like this and that. Really, I would say it was like 99% people behind you, like borderline unison. And I've never seen anything like it. I want to see ask two questions, like a two part. I think you're super effective. Every time you do something, they respond. The company has to respond. Whereas other reports from the outside, sometimes they could blow it off, have social media delete it. They have their methods. But with you, you get so to the source that they have to, you know, say something. So the two part question is, one, you know, can you speak on that being effective and actually getting results? And then also, I know your alpaca, you know, wall that you had of all the retractions, right? The retracto all the times that you got the media to basically have to switch their story because they lied about you. I think both of those are great.
I think getting a reaction is absolutely critical. Most people react to what they do. What we need to happen is to get them to react to our exposure. See, most people play defense. And Shane Smith of Vice once said, there's the soccer ball going back. If we chase the ball in the media, we chase the ball. What does everyone talk about? They're talking about Joe Biden today. They're talking about Banks yesterday. So what we have to do is create the story by reporting on what's going on, so that they react to us. They're not used to that. They don't know how to handle that. That terrifies them, right? Because they can't control the information. So by creating the reaction, like Pfizer responded, and they didn't deny the guy worked for him. In fact, they confirmed what he said. We mutate the virus. It was actually remarkable. I was actually surprised that Pfizer responded to that. And it was also remarkable, if you notice about that story a month ago, that was a massive story. It was remarkable that Pfizer responded to the guy, and all these people on Twitter were researching who he was. Okay, remember Boston Consulting Group? They were finding out his medical certificate at Yale. I mean, it was like a citizen army of researchers, all doing it for free. Meanwhile, you had the media going, "Well, we can't confirm that he works for Pfizer, and there's no evidence to suggest that he." I mean, think of the irony of media journalists saying they can't do their jobs while the citizens are doing their jobs for them.
They're like, "We don't see anything."
They're literally like, my favorite is there's no evidence to suggest that he works for Pfizer. Listen to that. There's no evidence to suggest. Meanwhile, all the citizens in the subtweets are finding all the evidence. They say he's Yale doctor. He's consultant. I mean, so what that did for me is, wow, there are thousands of people that will do this journalism for free while the journalists don't do journalism. Right. So you have to decentralize it. Okay. And I'm going to make another plug. O'KeefeMediaGroup.com. Go on there, $20, $1,000, whatever you can afford to sponsor the cameras. I'm shipping them out on Monday. Okay. I'm mailing them to people. So as you know, I'm a man of my word. I'm going to do this. I do think it's important to get it on video. I don't think documentation is enough. I don't think talking about it is enough. I think we have to get it on video.
You, like whistleblowers, like say at a company, a nurse, like is it like people basically on the inside? Because now that there's thousands of cameras, I'm just thinking thousands of people running around. Like you want, like you said, basically powerful people that are lying, hurting others, essentially. Like say there's probably hundreds of people that watch you that maybe work somewhere where things are super unethical and super corrupt. And then now you're almost trying to be like, well, this is an option.
It's an option. And I think you're right to say you have to be careful. You have to be ethical. And I intend to teach people how to be ethical. I'm open source it. I'm not going to protect it or keep it inside the walls of my built. No, no, no. I'm going to put it on my website and I'm going to teach seminars. I've developed a whole curriculum on journalism ethics. I wrote a whole book on it called American Muckraker. It was very dense reading. It was like a textbook. I mean, I have privacy, recording laws. The boundaries, which is every situation is different, right? I had a situation in Michigan a few years ago where a teacher's union official, there was a document on someone's desk. This is the American Federation of Teachers, where they paid off a guy $50,000 after he was accused of doing unspeakable acts to a child. And they covered it up. Even taking a picture of that document, right? Is that moral? Are you allowed to take a picture of the document? Well, I think most people would say yes, of course, if it involves abuse of a child. So every situation is different, and you have to, as a citizen journalist, you have to make that assessment when you're out there. And there's going to be some risk in this. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be obstacles. I recognize this is very ambitious, but if done the right way, it can have the ability to shake up the levers of power, because I don't think Congress or, you know, who's in the White House, I don't think it matters anymore. I think the administrative state, the bureaucracy in our government, in our schools, I think the only way to change things is an army of exposures.
I agree. Can you talk about Retracto real quick? Because I know the media lies all the time, and I don't know, is it hundreds or thousands? I'm not sure how many times you've got them to retract, but it's impressive.
It's like 450 or something like that, corrections and retractions. I used to frame them. I put them on the wall. It became almost like a cliche, like people started yawning. Oh, yes, of course, another retraction today. I mean, in my life, I probably made three mistakes, like where you misidentified someone or there was one questionable edit in a video from like 11 years ago where the guy was mid-sentence. I'm very careful. And I post those two or three mistakes on my website. But they lie all the time and settle defamation lawsuits all the time. And people are like, oh, yes, obviously they lie. But James O'Keefe, you can never make a mistake. Oh, that's interesting. So we're we're 450-3. That's a pretty good track record in terms of them lying about me and me making a mistake about them. But Andrew Breitbart, my mentor, said many years ago, he said, James, you have to be immaculate. You have to be perfect. And they don't have to be perfect. And that's not fair, but that's just the way it is.
Hmm. I hope you still do the alpaca retracto, man, because I love seeing that on Instagram. It's just, it's a fun time. The music is fun. The scenery is fun. And it's just good to see the media take an L. So I hope you keep doing that.
And they have to actually, you know, issue the, it always says, you know, update, right? It's like update. Oh, so I make fun of them on the update language because the update never really appears in the original article. But I think they actually started to fear me quite a bit. There's not really anyone holding the media accountable. There's no law that governs the Fourth Estate. There's the First Amendment, but the defamation is out of control. The unverified information is out of control. And we don't report anything unless you can see the lips moving. I show you the faces. They show you no faces. They ask you to believe them by virtue of the decree that they're to be trusted because they say so. Well, that's not a reason to trust someone anymore. You got to show us the evidence. You can't just ask me to believe you because you are a New York Times reporter. I need to see the documents. I need to see the tape. And that's the standard that we try to hold ourselves. And I'll continue to hold myself to.
I know a lot of the media said a lot of stuff, including the sandwich. I hope you bought, you know, you should buy that pregnant lady a whole Subway franchise so her kids can have sandwiches to give to Jussie Smollett and others for decades. But no, I was going to say, jokes aside, you know, to get to the level you're at and to be great at something, especially something that's really difficult and kind of, I would say, against the grain, you know, can you speak to what it really takes to get there? And maybe someone comes along and says, well, James is mean, or, you know, this isn't easy. Like, you know, is it even possible to get to where you're at by taking the easy route?
No, you need two things. You need fearlessness. And you need integrity. Most people are afraid. And I get why. But most people are very afraid. You need to find the people that are absolutely fearless. And then you need people with what I will refer to as with testicular fortitude. How about that? I was going to say with balls. But I don't know if that gender – I don't know what gender is anymore. So let's just call it testicular fortitude. I think all people can – some of my best – journalists are women, and I would say they have a kind of testicular fortitude. You have to be willing to have backbone. You cannot have weak people in this business. You can't get bribed. You can't be afraid. You can't be partial. You have to follow the facts. And number three, you can never give up. I mean, I've been through in my life. I'm fortunate to have been through a lot of things that have prepared me for what I went through the last month. I mean, I've been on effective house arrest. I've been for 3 years. I was targeted. I was raided by the FBI, arrested by the FBI back 13 years ago, defamed. I've been to court. And you have to be resilient. You have to be willing to get back up. I mean, I know it's been said like in the Rocky movies and you hear it as a kid, but you have to be, when you get knocked down and they give you those 9 count, you got to get back up. You have to get back up. And you're in pain, and you're wounded, right? But when you're wounded, you have to get back up. But I think the two most important qualities are probably fearlessness and integrity. If you have those two qualities, you're unstoppable. They can't stop you.
Trump got number one on the iTunes charts. I don't know what happened. Maybe like January Sixers made a song with them. I haven't heard it yet. But is there an O'Keefe Anomaly collab in the future? I know you do plays. I know you sing. I know you could dance, bro. I've seen the dance moves. I'm like, okay. So, you know, is there something there?
Yes. I think we should. I want to do Coachella. I have a conflict, but I'm also a DJ. I don't know if you know that. I'm rusty. I need to get back into it. I have a pioneer DJ. I love my favorite things to do is actually taking the original version of a song like Mariah Carey's Fantasy and then remixing it with like the new remix that's on the pop chart. So I do that. I do musical theater. I used to do slam poetry when I was a teenager, by the way.
Okay,
not as good as you when I was a teenager. So we will collab Maybe in April or May, we'll make a video. By the way, it pisses everyone off. I think it pisses conservatives off the most. No, you cannot dance and sing. You have to do white paper. You must do what, because it changes the matrix. It messes everyone up. So we will collaborate, I promise you, in California when I'm out there and later in the spring.
All right, sounds great. And yeah, I was laughing so hard when they were trying to be like, he takes, you know, black cars and does dance parties. And I'm like, is that really all you have, that he did a dance party? Like, that's totally normal for any company, by the way, to do some sort of promo event. Yeah.
But the best part is that those haters were that they're having a great time. They were dancing. They were on the stage. They were having such a great time. So they don't even know they like it, but they like it so much. And I promise you, you are going to be freestyling with me at my next dance party.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Any last words for the people, what they need to know, where they could find your stuff? Appreciate your time. And also, St. Patty's Day, and you said you were Irish. Pretty epic.
I mean, I might go get some corned beef and cabbage after this with my dad, who I'm here in New Jersey. He's a great guy. So we're going to go out on the street and have a Guinness and the corned beef. But my plug is the new company, OMG, O'KeefeMediaGroup.com. Subscribe to us. Put down $20, O'KeefeMediaGroup.com, and sponsor the revolution of cameras. We have awakened a sleeping giant. We're going to build this beyond what we did times a factor of 100, I promise you. O'KeefeMediaGroup.com. Click subscribe, please.
Amazing. Thank you for joining me on St. Patty's Day. Thanks, everybody, for watching. And go check that out and look into it and be on the lookout for anything James is doing, whatever he's involved in, including whatever we got cooking up. Maybe we'll make the next Hamilton. We'll see. All right. Thank you, James.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one, guys. Hey, what's going on, my friends? Just a few ways to stay in touch and support if you'd like to. The first way is dreamrare.com. We have blue beanies, black beanies, pink hats, other colored hats, freedom versus tyranny shirts, stay blessed long sleeve, God is great long sleeve, and lots of more cool items coming soon. Dreamrare.com. Check out the shop to support. Everything's made in the United States. Handpicked by me. Patreon.com/raretalk. For $5 a month, you can help support me. Support the show. If you haven't noticed, unlike other channels, I don't work with very many sponsors, sometimes none at all. And part of the way I'm able to do that is with the dreamrare.com shop and patreon.com/raretalk. So thank you guys for keeping this show free, unimpeded, uninterrupted. I'm forever grateful. My free email list is stayintouchwithme.com, so check the links below in the description or just type in on any browser stayintouchwithme.com, all one word. You'll find my email list, put it in there, and it's the least annoying email list you'll ever be on. I barely use it because I don't like getting emailed every day or every week. It's annoying, so I don't do it. Stayintouchwithme.com, it helps me take back some power away from big tech. Telegram, t.me/dreamrarechat or @dreamrarechat. Due to censorship, I post all my live stream and videos there. Sometimes I have some bonus content, and I try to give people a heads up when Facebook or YouTube won't. Dreamrarechat at Telegram. My Instagram is @dreamrare. Thanks for everybody following there for shorter content. And dreamrarelinks.com, that's dreamrarelinks.com, has all my stuff. My podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, my music on Spotify and Apple, my Rumble page, my BitChute and Gab page. All my links are found at dreamrarelinks.com. Thanks for watching, folks. God bless you. You already know I'll be back with more content soon. Appreciate you.